Amen. Please be seated. If you will grab your Bible or pick up your phone and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is where the story of David and Goliath is, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But as you open your Bible, I need to put your eyes this way because we have a special guest scripture reader today, and I want to invite Pastor Nolan and his son Ezra up here for the scripture reading.
Okay. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. The Philistines were enemies of God. Their soldier came to fight King Saul for me. A giant soldier named Goliath yelled, "Bring on your best soldiers and fight me. If you're strong and so defeat me, we will be our slicing wound. If I defeat him, he will be our slice. King Saul's army are afraid. They want to fight the giant. Meanwhile, young David was taking food for their breath, but they were Philistines of King Saul's army. But when they reached the camp, he saw Goliath. David heard the giant's challenge. I'm not afraid to fight the giant. They replied, God will be with me. King Saul gave his armor to David, but it was big and heavy. David wasn't used to wearing armor. See, David ran to a nearby stream and picked up 5 stones. He stood before Goliath. The giant laughed at him.
Ha, 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 ha.
But David didn't care. He said, I come before you in the name of the Lord who rules over all. David put a stone in his sling and ran toward the giant. Then he let the stone fly. It hit Goliath's forehead and he fell to the ground. The Philistine saw that the hero was dead by running away. Amen.
Can I have a high five? All right. Amen. You know, there's scripture that says something about the faith of a child, and man, if you want to see God's power in his word, let your children read the word and let their faith shine through those words, and you see God come alive. Amen?
Amen.
So we are talking about the story of David and Goliath today. My name is John Simonson. I'm the pastor of Young Families and Discipleship here. And for those of you that don't know, I'm also a police officer in Orange Beach. I just say that because that may come up later. Anytime I talk publicly, if I pulled you over, you may leak into the sermon. So, word of warning. But I wanted to talk today about this story. It's a children's story. It's a story that we're all familiar with. I know that is a pastor's common mistake to assume that everybody knows the story. So we're going to go through it a little bit here, and we're just going to break it down from another view today. Let's start with the Israelites, right? They were being challenged by the Philistines. The Philistines met or assembled their armies, and they met at the Elah Valley. And the Philistines send out this giant of a man. I can only imagine what he looked like, how big he was, how scary he was, because the entire Israelite army was scared of him. The giant would come out, Goliath would come out and make the challenge every morning, every night. Send out your best soldier to fight me. We will have a man-on-man battle, a one-on-one, and whoever wins will be declared the victor, and the loser army will become the slaves of the other. It must have been very intimidating, because what I find most interesting in this story is that the Israelites camped on the side of the mountain, on their side of the valley, out of fear and terror. The Bible says they were terrified just at the sight and sound of Goliath, which I find unusual, which I find interesting, because the Israelites were God's chosen people. That's the story of the Bible. The Israelites were God's chosen people. They were set apart. They were pulled out of Egypt. They were brought into a land of milk and honey. They were defeated enemies over and over again because of God's hand. And here are these Israelites, these people that have been chosen by God, cowering in fear at one man because of one giant that gets in their way and challenges them, and they cower in fear. And this week I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about how we all have giants in our life. That even in our life of going to church every day, even as good Christians, there are giants that come up in our life and we cower in fear, just like the Israelites did. And those giants can be a multitude of things. We don't just deal with difficult people, but we all know we have difficult people in our lives, right? Or you're just nicer than I am and y'all don't have that. Like I said, I'm a police officer, so I do make a living dealing with difficult people. But it's not just the people I deal with. Sometimes it's just work and the struggles at work, the stresses, the responsibilities, the commitment that it requires to do what you're supposed to do. I mean, that can be a giant in and of itself, and there are times that I just don't want to handle it, and I either cower in fear and just wait for the problem to go away, or it just, I call out to God and say, God, can't you send down something to just take it away so that I don't have to deal with it? What if it's worse? What if it's something that we all either have dealt with or know somebody dealing with? What if it's addiction? What if it's something that just seems like it sucks the life out of you, and every time you go battle it and you lose, you do become its slave? It does take over your life. It does defeat you. And you do end up cowering in fear and trying to find that tent on the side of the mountain and camping and just hiding and waiting for it to go away. Another giant that we don't want to deal with, but we all have to face. What about death? What about death? As we grow older, we become more aware, right? And it looms there, standing there, coming out and challenging us, saying, come and face me. And we cower in fear, or we just ignore it and hope it goes away. And that's what Israel was doing with this giant. They were just camping on the side of the mountain. And I just picture this nation who had forgotten who they are, forgotten where they had come from, forgotten who God had chose. And I just picture myself in their shoes saying, have I forgotten? And then the second part of the story is a young boy sent by his father to check on his brothers comes, right? And who is this young boy, as we heard? David, King David, the boy that will become king. And he comes and he shows up in the camp and he talks to the soldiers, which there's a really good line in here of brothers. If you have a brother or don't have a brother, or if you have kids, two boys, it's here in this story where one of them, the older one, hears the younger one asking around about the giant. He says, what are you doing? And David, the younger one, says, what have I done this time? I just see my boys fighting every time I see that. It's great. Need to read that part of the scripture. But David shows up and he inquires what's going on, because when he shows up, it's probably the evening run when Goliath comes out and makes his challenge. And he hears this challenge and he looks around and he sees Israel's army camping and terrified at this giant. He says, what is the deal here? And they all say, well, Saul has promised his daughter and a bunch of money and riches and fame to whoever beats this giant. And David marches into Saul's tent and says, why are y'all afraid? I will take on this giant. Saul says, you're too young. David says, I come in the name of the Lord. I have been out in the fields with my shepherds, as a shepherd, herding my flock. I have faced lions and demons. And then the best line that really sums up who David is in verse 37 of chapter 17. It's just one verse. But David says, the Lord, who rescued me from the power of both lions and bears, will rescue me from the power of this Philistine. And the reason I love that line so much is because it just, to me, when I look at this story, it just gives me a better picture of David. Because we know David, right? David was not perfect. David becomes this great king who does a lot of stuff, who proves his humanity every day, right? Proves his weaknesses. David is a perfect character in the Bible, perfect example of us, because we are human and we make mistakes. But David does something different, right? David does something different that makes him stand out and makes him such a great character. And this line right here, the Lord who rescued me from the lions and bears will rescue me from the Philistine, is kind of what makes me think. It's not what makes me think. It just kind of sums up David for me. I can picture David out in the fields being a shepherd, out there with his sheep. And I can picture myself being next to him. And I know what I would be doing under a shade tree with a bunch of sheep with the little bells dinging and you know, the baying of the sheep and that nice sunny afternoon, just like this afternoon, underneath the tree. Can any of y'all imagine what you would be doing? I would probably be taking a nap. But that's just me. But I don't see David doing that, because in this one line, he tells me he knows who his God is, right? He knows who his God is. So we're talking about Israelite camped on the side of a mountain in fear of one giant that has come up in their way. And then we're talking about this little boy who knows God. Because as he was out there in the fields working the flocks, he was spending time with God. He was getting to know God. He was learning that he could trust God. Because when the lion came up and he faced down the lion, he saw that God was with him. When the bear came up and he faced down the bear and he saw that God was with him. And he had the scriptures. He knew what the Old Testament said. He knew what the scriptures said. I know he spent time talking to God and getting to know him. And he shows up on this side of the mountain with a nation that was chosen by God, but who has forgotten who they are and who God is. And there's a challenger, this giant in their life, that comes out and puts this fear in them. And David says, wow, God was with me when I faced the lions. God was with me when I faced the bears. God will be with me when I face this Philistine. I will go out there for you, Saul. And Saul says, oh, no. You need this armor. And David puts it on and says, I can't do that. That's not me. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. David says, I will go out the way I have always gone out with the Lord, and he will show up in the field, and he will be with me. And David goes out, and he picks up the stones, and he puts it in the sling, and he runs out there, charges out there, throws the sling, it hits the giant in the head, the giant falls down. David declares, this is God's battle, and God won this battle. And when I think of this big picture, I just see Israelites sitting on the side of the mountain crying out for someone to come rescue them. Somebody come rescue me. Somebody show up. God send someone. And then David shows up and they cheer, and David gets the girl and he gets the money. But in Israelites' mind, David showed up to save them. But in David's mind, God didn't show up. God was there, and David met God there, and God showed up. And that's the difference, I think, for a lot of us. Because I have pictured myself as David a million times in my mind's eye with the battles of life, with the struggles of life. There are times that I tell myself, I need to be David, and I need to go face this head on, and I need to go out there, and I need to just trust in God and know that He will meet me there. And then I stumble, and I fall, and I feel defeated, and I feel like a slave to whatever it is that's bothering me, because I don't know what I did wrong, or I don't know if I had enough faith, or I don't know if I did it right. And then this week I've just been looking at the scripture, and there are times that I know that when I could have been getting to know God, getting to spend time with God, praying to God, reading His scripture, learning and seeing His faithfulness in my day-to-day life, I didn't. And I chose to be like Israel and just kind of go with the flow and stay in my tent and get comfortable. And I wasn't learning who God was. I wasn't trusting in what God is doing because I wasn't spending as much time as I could being with Him. And so when I ran out there on the field and I said, I'm running out there for God, I was really running out there saying, I will take care of the problem and I will deal with it and I will handle it and God will just sit there and watch me do this. I mean, does anybody else ever do that? I mean, I do that. I'm the preacher. I guess I shouldn't say that. I am perfect. Thank you. No, I'm not. I struggle. But then looking at this picture from the big picture, there was just a revelation that I heard somebody talking about this scripture, and they said, what if we took David out? What if everything in the Old Testament leads to the New Testament? What if this whole story is about one thing, this reconciliation, this given to God, and it fits today because today is Christ the King Day, right? So what if we take David out of this picture and we put Jesus in the picture in the place of David? What if we say God gave us and sent someone to fight this battle for us so that no matter how we are, no matter how lazy we are, no matter how distracted we are, no matter how broken we are, no matter how we get too comfortable, or no matter how much we like to hide in the tent and stay on the mountain and not get into the battle, God has said, I'm going to send the King. I'm going to send Jesus, and Jesus is going to show up, and Jesus is going to be the King of our lives. Jesus is going to be the one that says, I came for you. I came because I knew you would be scared. I came because I knew you would be hiding. I came because I knew you needed help. I came because I wanted to have a relationship with you, and all you have to do is turn to me and let me take over your life. You know, there are times that I wish that God would send this pillar of fire and this pillar of smoke and lead me and guide me and take me to where, just give me the path, give me the map, Lord, just show me the way. But then there are other times in my life where I recognize my brokenness, recognize my weakness, recognize my failures, and then see Jesus standing there and he says, I came for you. I came because you are like this. I came because I knew you needed me. I came because I wanted to show you the way. I came because I knew you would struggle and fall and stumble right here, and you needed somebody to be here to pick you up and say, let's go, come with me. God sent Jesus to be David, to face our giants, so that when we are facing those struggles at work, when we are facing those struggles with family, when we are facing whatever the giants of life are that make us feel defeated and scared and like we are the slaves to them, God sent Jesus to say, you no longer fight this battle, but I will fight this battle with you. And all I ask that you do is to sit there and have a relationship with me, to come get to know me, to come spend time with me, to come seek after me, to come learn my ways, to just be with me. Sit in the field underneath the tree watching the sheep and talk with me. Listen to me. Follow me. I mean, there are so many times in life where we try to fight these battles on our own, but we do not have to. We do not have to. There are so many times in our life that we run out on this field thinking that we have it figured out, and we say, God is watching me and I will do it for him. But that's not what he's asking. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to get to know him. We're called to listen to that voice outside the tent saying, saying, I come in the name of the Lord, the creator of all things, the ruler over all. We're called to cheer along as this Jesus, this Savior, this King of all, this King who came down from his throne, this King who got off the castle wall, said, I will march into the midst of the battle. I will take this giant on for you. And all you have to do is come to me, listen to me, spend some time with me, and get to know me. Isn't that crazy? That in the midst of this world where there's so much stuff going on, there's so much battles, there's so much hatred, so much division, so much distractions, like we talked about at the beginning, that we can come into a place like this. We can learn how to have a relationship with God. And all he's asking us to do is just get to know him. Get to know him. So that in the future, when we walk out these doors and those giants rear their ugly heads, because I don't think Goliath was pretty, when they rear their ugly heads, we no longer cower in fear, because we know we're already walking with the King who met us where we were. That's what I've been thinking about this week. That so many times we call out for help, but we forget that he's already here with us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's spend a moment just soaking that in. I'm going to give you just a second to pray silently, and then I will end with a prayer. But I want you to just search your heart and see if you are missing opportunities to get to know that King that says, I am here for you. Come out and watch the victory. Lord, it is easy for us to get comfortable. It is easy for us to crawl into our tents. It is easy to try to shut out the rest of the world. Lord, it is easy for us to forget what you have done for us. It is easy for us to forget who you are and who you say you are. Lord, there are so many times in my life that I cry out for this big giant sign, and I just want you to come and wipe the slate clean and just reset everything. But at the same token, Lord, there are so many times that I've missed the opportunities to just get to know you, to spend time with you, to learn who you are, and to learn what you're capable of, so that when those moments in my life come that I need to run out there and be for you, I don't. I run out there and try to do it on my own. And Lord, you have made it so much easier. And you have sent us this King that has stepped down from his throne and has walked down to this heaping pile that I am and has lifted me up. And you offer to do that for all of us, Lord, with the same invitation. Just come get to know me, follow me, see who I am. Lord, we ask for that. We ask for courage to do that. We ask for strength to do that. We ask for reminders to do that. Lord, we ask that you will help us get to know you better so that the next battle that comes, Lord, we will know that it is you, our King, that is fighting that battle for us. And Lord, we pray this, all this, in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.